June.
Okay. Well, so you finished up the thing about the Hafaras Nedarim and Rosh Amatis and all
that.
Okay.
Not 100% clear, but.
And we can run it. We can run it over. We can run it over briefly, I guess. Okay. So then, fine. So we'll restart from Kufchof on the Bays, the fourth line from the bottom. We talked about there was a Gzeira Shava between Zeh Hadover by Rosh by Hataras Nedarim. We said there was a greater shava between Zeh Hadover by Hataras Nedarim and Zeh Hadover that it says by Shchut Echut, by not shechting Karbonis outside the Beis Mikdash, from which we learn greater shava that both of them apply in all generations.
Right.
So now we said Beis Shammai does not hold of that greater shava,
right.
Because we said that they b'chlal hold that there's no she'ela by Hektish. That you don't say that just like Shchut Echut applies to Hektish, so Hataras Nedarim applies to Hektish, because they don't hold of the concept. So the question is, well, Beis Shammai de Lesla Hugzeira Shava. To be Matir Neder, if you made a Neder for Hektish, Beis Shammai holds you can't undo it. Okay. So, well, Beis Shammai de Lesla Hugzeira Shava. So if we say Beis Shammai does not hold of that Gzeira Shava, Hafaras Nedarim B'Shloisha Hediyotis Menolo. Then how do they know that Hafaras Nedarim can be accomplished, Taras Nedarim really, whatever, can be accomplished by three Hediyotis?
How do we know they know that we can?
We don't find anywhere that they disagree on the concept. So if they disagreed on that, they should say it someplace. So according to Beis Hillel, fine. We learn it again from this Gzeira Shava, because since by Shchut Echut this is Aaron Rabban of B'chol Yisrael. So we learn from that that it works by Shloisha Hediyotis also. But according to Beis Shammai, how does it work? And by the way, the Rashbam points out, I mean, the Gemara is not asking how they know that it applies in all generations, because like what the Gemara said yesterday, there's no reason to think it doesn't apply in all generations unless we're told specifically otherwise.
There's no reason to think it does apply.
That it doesn't apply in all generations, unless it's specifically.
Why don't we say it straightforwardly, there is reason to believe
that. In other words, that basically any mitzvah we assume applies in all generations, unless otherwise specified.
Right.
So the answer is, Naskalahumi Ditanya. They learn it as follows, because it says in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Vaidaber Moshe es Moyadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe spoke and told about the Moyadim, about the Yom Tovim to Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbi Yosef Aglu Yomer, Moyadei Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Bereshis Lo Nemra. The Moyadim of Hashem were said, but Shabbos Bereshis, meaning the regular weekly Shabbos, was not said. What does that mean? We're going to explain soon. Ben Azayah, Moyadei Hashem Nemru, Hafaras Nedarim Lo Nemra. Ben Azay says that what the Pasuk means to say is the Moyadei Hashem was said, but Hafaras Nedarim was not said. Now, what does that mean? In other words, we're going to see. In other words, the point is that Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Ben Azay are both saying the fact that it says that Moshe spoke Moyadei Hashem implies that there's something else which is not like Moyadei Hashem. And Loi Nemru was not said to be in the same category. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yosi bar Nosson gomel olahamasin. So Rabbi Yosi bar Nosson had learned this braisa v'lo yodel leila furusha, but he couldn't understand it. What does that mean? Nemra and Moed Hashem Nemru and Shabbos Bereshis or Hafaras Nedarim Lo Nemra. What does that mean? Also Basri did Rav Sheshes l'Nahavda. So he went to follow Rav Sheshes to find him in Nahavda. V'lo yashkecha, he couldn't find him there in Nahavda. Also Basri the Mechuzah, instead he went and then followed him to Mechuzah. Ashkechay, and there he found him in Mechuzah. So you can see the Mesiras Nefesh that they had for us to understand a thing in Torah. Yeah.
That I think is
yeah. Omalei, so he says to him, "My, what does this braita mean? Moyadei Hashem Nemru Shabbos Bereshis Lo Nemra." Omalei, so if Sheshes answers, it means like this. Moyadei Hashem, relax, it's downstairs. Amalei, it means like this. Moyadei Hashem tzrichim kiddush beisin. It means the Yom Tovim need kiddush by beisin. In other words, the Yom Tovim don't happen automatically. You need beisin to be mekadesh the chodesh and declare this is Rosh Chodesh. There are actually some of the Rishonim want to say that it means that even the Yom Tovim themselves have to actually be declared by beisin. But Shabbos Bereshis loy nemra. But Shabbos Bereshis ain't a tzrichim kiddush beisin. The weekly Shabbos does not need Kiddush Beisdin. It happens automatically, as we say elsewhere.
Shabbos
Bereshis means not Shabbos Bereshis as we use it nowadays, the Shabbos Sefer in Chatzer. Shabbos Bereshis means the weekly Shabbos, which is associated with Ma'aseh Bereshis. Because otherwise, Shabbos can also mean Yom Tov, like Mimachar to Shabbos. So by saying Shabbos Bereshis clarifies that we mean Shabbos Bereshis means the weekly Shabbos. The weekly Shabbos. So there's also Shabbos Ha'aretz, right? The Shemitah. The Shabbos Bereshit, Ein Tzricha Kiddush Beis Din. It does not need to be made holy by Beis Din. It happens automatically. Which, by the way, the Gemara tells us in Beis Din. That's why when we say, when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, what's the order of the bracha? We say, Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. Why in that order? Shabbos happens automatically. It doesn't require Yisrael to be holy. Whereas Zmanim depend on the Jewish people, the Gemara says in Beis Din. So that's why it's always, and that's why it's in that order. Okay.
I will say, because, you know, it's Yom Tov, why it comes
that's why. That's why. Okay. Now, why would you think otherwise? Because otherwise you would think to say, first, it says Shabbos in the parashas on Moedos, and Emor over there, the Kriya that we do on the first days of Sukkot and of Pesach, it says Elam Moedei Hashem, and it starts by listing Shabbos. And then it lists all the Yom Tovim. You would think it's listed together with all of them. Tiboy, Kiddush, Beis Din, Kamodos. You would think maybe it needs to be declared by Beis Din, like the Yom Tovim. Kamash Malon, that is the Kiddush of the Braisa, Moyad Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Gracious Loy Nemru. Moshe had to inform the Jewish people, by Dabra Moshe, Moyad Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, he told them how the Moyadim have to be set up, that Beis Din is responsible for setting up the Moyadim. But they're not responsible for setting up Shabbos because Kiddush HaChodesh, in other words, but they're not responsible for setting up Shabbos because it happens automatically.
Thank God, otherwise you would have to wait Kiddush Shabbos every week.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so that explains the first Braisa. Now we have to get back to the second Braisa, which is going to answer the question about where Beis Shammai knows that Haforas Nedarim can be done by Shlosha Yedidus. So the second Braisa said, "My Moedei Hashem Nemra, Haforas Nedarim La Nemra." What does it mean that it says the Moedim are said, but Haforas Nedarim was not said? It means Moedei Hashem Tzrichin Mumchim. It means Moedei Hashem require Mumchim. You can't, not just anybody can be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. You need three people who have smicha, ish v'tiyish, from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is why when the smicha was almost becoming extinct, which is why Hillel HaNasi, the famous Hillel HaNasi, made the calendar that we have nowadays, because it can only be done by smuchim. You actually have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam, what the basis of the calendar we use nowadays is the fact there are still Jews in Eretz Yisrael who continue to calculate it, and therefore we, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, follow them, or is it because of Hillel's sakana? Whatever, the point is it happened to be... In other words, according to the Rambam holds, it's just the fact there have always been Jews in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore even once, he doesn't even talk about Hillel Takana, he just says there came a point when they started using the fixed calendar, and then elsewhere in Sefer Mitzvot, he says, well, since the Jews of Eretz Yisrael from then until now have continued to follow that calendar, then they're the ones who set it up, basically, and we, Bnei Chutzlaretz, follow them, as opposed to the Rambam says no, because the fact is, our Gemara says you need Mumchim. And then the people nowadays in Eretz Yisrael don't have smicha, ish mipiyish, from Moshe Rabbeinu. How is it? It's because Hillel HaNasi made a sakana, and he was a stomach, and he was Mekadesh all the months and all the years in advance until the year 6000, or until Mashiach comes, whichever comes first. So therefore, that's not the basis. Anyway, the point is that it needs that Kiddush HaChodesh requires mumchen. Haforas Nedarim, ain't it tzricha mumchen, whereas Haforas Nedarim does not. So there we go. That's how Beis Shammai can learn that Haforas Nedarim doesn't require mumchen, that you can have three hediyot.
And therefore, he doesn't need
to exert a shava of death. Right. So the question is, well, Rosh Hamakas, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Haforas Nedarim doesn't require mumchim. The pasuk says, "Vaydaba Moshe al Rosh Hamakas." That Moshe spoke to the heads of the shvatim, and as the Gemara said yesterday, the heads of the shvatim implies that implies mumchim, because the heads of the shvatim are our people who have smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. And now comes the answer, like the Gemara said yesterday, "Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yechanan, v'yochid mumcha." What the Pasuk is telling us by saying Rosh HaMakas is that instead of having Shlosha HaYotis, instead you could have a Yochid Mumcha.
What does it say then, Rosh HaMakas?
Rosh HaMakas, okay, it means each one individually. But so that's how it is. Now, as a matter of practical halacha, especially because you have Rishonim who learn that Mumchin over here means, like in the previous one, it means people who have Smicha, then it would mean nowadays nobody has that smicha ish mipiyish for Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, in practice, we're not ever soimach on a yochid mumcha. We always require a base din of three. Yeah. Okay.
So
All right.
A minute. You're saying that Atzeres Nedarim, we rely on a base din
of three. Atzeres Nedarim that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, our minhag is to have 10. That's for a different. That's
right.
For a different reason.
So that's really
yeah. Regular Atzeres Nedarim, yeah.
So. Why can we say the same thing about Kiddush HaChodesh?
Because Kiddush HaChodesh is saying in Moedei Hashem Nemru, that Moedei Hashem, it was said that you need Mumchim. It was specifically said, that part of the rules of Kiddush HaChodesh, Ashetekru Oysem Moedem, that it has to be Mumchim.
And
as opposed to Haforas Nedarim, that's the point of the Braisa, Moedei Hashem, that Ben Azai says, Moedei Hashem Nemru, Haforas Nedarim Lo Nemru, that...
Mumchim.
Nemrim means that it was said that it requires mumchim, whereas Haparot Nedarim is not in that category. Okay. All right. New topic. It's not really a totally new topic. It's gonna relate back to what we were talking about before about this business of the Shvatim not being able to intermarry in that generation. Tanan Hoftim, we learned in a Mishnah, the end of Tainus, Amr of Shem, the last Mishnah of Tainus, Amr of Shem ben Yamil, Lo Hayu Yomim Tovim Yisrael, Kachamisha Asa Ba'av O Chiyem HaKippurim, there were no greater Yom Tovim for the Jewish people than the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Shebehen Benoit Yerushalayim Yotis B'Klei Lovin Shulin. On those days, the girls of Yerushalayim would go out with borrowed white clothes. Why would they borrow? Shalei Levayish Yis Misha Einloi, in order not to embarrass anybody who doesn't have a white dress. And then the Mishnah continues. They would go out and dance in the vineyards, and the Bacharim would come there to find Shidduchim.
Just Yerushalayim, or
Eretz Yisrael? The Pashtus more generally in Eretz Yisrael, but specifically in Yerushalayim they would do this, apparently, yeah. And in the pasuk over there at the end of the story of Pelegish Begibah, it mentions they did a similar thing near Shiloh, because that's where the Mishkan was at the time, so maybe it was specifically associated with the area where the Mishmikdash was. Okay. So, the question is, why Dafka those 2 days? The Shlemi Yom Kippurim, I can understand what's so special about Yom Kippur. It's Yom Slicha, and why there's no greater Yom Tov than it. Yom Slicha Mechila, it's in general the day of forgiveness and pardon from Hashem. And Yom Shenitna Boi Luchas Achronin, it's the day. It's the day that the Eibishter gave its second law. The Rashbam makes the famous calculation that Shavuot, the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. The next day, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Luchas. He stays up there, he comes down on Shivas of the Tammuz and breaks the Luchas. He goes up the next day, to Davin for Rachmanus, for the Jewish people. He stays there 40 days, comes down towards the end of Av. Prepares two new luchos. He goes back up erev Rosh Chodesh. The Rashbam learns that they went back up erev Rosh Chodesh. Other Rishonim in other places talk about that he went up on Rosh Chodesh, which is why we begin blowing the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, or saying the David Hashem Ori. Anyway, he went up on Chof Tesov, the Rashbam says. He stayed there another 40 days. So that and then the Eibishter forgave the Jewish people by Yemar Hashem Salachti Kibaracha and gave him the second luchos.
So he came back on Yom Kippur?
So he came back down on Yom Kippur with the second message. So therefore
before
we can
understand...
On Yom Kippur itself. So that's why... That's
all he did.
Yeah, so therefore we can understand why Yom Kippur is such a special day and why it's a great day of Simcha.
Yeah, but I mean, Yom Kippur was before Moshe Rabbeinu came back.
What are you talking about? This is in the first year. This is six months after he's business giant. Maybe she hadn't yet given the what do we have? By Dabar Hashem Moshe Acher and Moshe Shnei B'nei Acher. And that was only later on, Nissen, or the following Nissen. So we're talking that the Eibishter tells Aaron about the Avodah of Yom Kippur and the mitzvah. That the Eibishter tells Moshe to tell Aaron about the mitzvah of Yom Kippur and so forth. So, yeah. Okay. So Yom Kippur, I can understand why it's such a great Yom Kippur. By the way, you know, it also talks about Chassidus, that this is why we have a special Simcha and Simchas Torah, because it's the end of that cycle of Yom Tovim. Shavuot is the Simcha of Matan Torah to begin with, but after all those locusts were broken, so that's the Avodah of Tzadikim, at the time we were all Tzadikim. Simchas Torah is the culmination of the Avodah of the Baalei Tshuva, and then therefore the great outpouring of Simcha and Simchas Torah. Okay. Ella, Chamisha Asa Ba'av Ma'ayim. But what's so special about the 15th of Av? Why is it such a tremendous year as opposed to any other day of the year? What's such a tremendous Yom Tov? Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We're going to have a bunch of different answers. The Rashbam says these answers don't disagree with each other. Each of the Amaroyim is going to give the answer that he learned from his
rabbi.
Layers upon layers. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and this is what connects with our previous Gemara, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lovei Zeh B'Zeh. It's the day that the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry with each other freely. As we said in the Gemara yesterday, that there came a point, Zeh HaDavar, this din, that a girl who Yarshin Nachla from her father can only marry within her Shevet, only applied to that generation. So now it became Mutter. So the Rashbam explains what it is like this. Anybody who was still alive from the generation that came into Eretz Yisrael, fine, as long as they're alive, the din applies to them. But other people who weren't from that generation, who were born afterwards, are mutter. So therefore, in other words, it sounds like the Rashbam is saying, although he didn't spell it out in so many words, that it sounds like the 15th of Av is when the last of that generation passed away. And so now it became, now everybody is it. The Tosfos Rid actually explains differently. He says what it is this that we said, Zeh HaDavar Lo Yehi Noyeg Ela B'Dor Zeh, they learned, it's not they came up with it on their own. the Chachamim of that generation. They learned from Moshe Rabbeinu that that's going to be the case. It only applies in that generation. They wanted to wait with announcing that until everybody is settled in their Nachla, because otherwise people may be careless with the din. So therefore, they waited. On Tu B'Av is when they publicized that you should know. Moshe Rabbeinu told us that the din only applies until everybody is settled, only in this generation, only until everybody is settled in Eretz Yisrael.
And that finished on Tu B'Av.
And that finished on Tu B'Av.
Why were they so happy that it finished?
So that's okay. So because then now everybody can freely intermarry. So actually, the Marshal says the simcha was more for the women. We see you were saying that the women went out and danced.
Right.
The simcha is not so much for the men. They could marry pretty freely before that also. It's the women who had the restriction before. They couldn't marry outside their shevet if they inherited nachla, and now they can.
If the woman couldn't get married outside the shevet, so the men...
No, it means that a particular man who wanted to marry this particular woman, obviously he couldn't, but he has his pick of the women of all the other shevetim who aren't, who haven't inherited nachla. As opposed to she can only marry within her shape
This was 1 year after the...
This is right out till after they settled in Eretz Yisrael. Actually, the Rebbe talks about Masicha and Chelek Chavdal with a different angle on it, that while this din was still in effect, it meant a person from each shevet really only has an ownership of the part of Eretz Yisrael that belongs to his shevet. There's no way possible for him to ever have owner, his family ever to have ownership of territory in another shevet. Once it became mutter, so now effectively each Jew becomes in a certain way a landlord over all Eretz Yisrael, because in principle, over time they can intermarry among the Shvatim, and a Yid can have bialus over any place in Eretz Yisrael, and that was the simcha.
They were not afraid that they would lose the boundary.
No, but that's the saying that they were saying that it was only for that generation. Once they're settled and they're not, well, then it's fine. Okay. So that was my drush. How did they darsh in? What did they darsh in? Like the Gemara said yesterday, zehadavar, davar zeh. Well, yeah, you know, gelav adar zeh. They darsh in the word zehadavar to mean it only applies in this generation. So again, on Tu B'Av, either the last of that generation passed away, or they made it, or they announced to everybody that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rabbi Baba Hana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Yom Shavuot of Shevet Binyamin, Lava Bakal. Tu B'Av is also the day that Shevet Binyamin was allowed to reintegrate and intermarry with the rest of the Jewish people after Pelagish Begiva. Yeah, Dichtiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'ish Yisrael Mishpah B'Mitzvah Lamer, the Jewish people had sworn in Mitzvah saying, Ish Mimenu Layitin Bitei L'Binyamin L'Isha, none of us will give their daughter to Binyamin for a wife. And now on Tu B'Av, they were able to be master that. My Jewish...
Because
of the whole story, the Pelagish Begiva, because Binyamin didn't step up for the plate to take care of these guys who had done the terrible thing in Giva, so everybody went to war against them, and they also figured, such a shame, nobody wants to have anything to do with them. My Jewish, what are they darshing to be able to say that they should be able to? Minenu v'leim v'neinu. In the Shavua, they had said, none of us will give our daughters to Binyamin. So it's only binding on that generation, not on their children, for example. So their sons could go ahead and marry their daughters off to Shevet Binyamin.
They have to wait a whole generation.
They have to wait a whole generation, yeah. Well, meanwhile, in between, you have the Pesukim describe how they took 400 girls from Yavish Gilad, and they took the other 200 that Bnei Binyamin, grabbed during the dancing in Shiloh over there. So yeah. So they managed in that generation. But in the following generation, already was good. Incidentally, by the way, Rishonim point out from this, you see from this that one generation has the ability to make a cherem or a shavua that will affect subsequent generations also, because only because they said here mimenu does it only apply to that generation. Had it not been, then it could have been binding on
forever.
The next forever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's enough.
We would say that no shavuot should disappear. That would
have... So they would have had shavuot and would have had to intermarry among themselves after. But anyway. So that's the second myth. And again, by the way, Marshall points out they're also the Simcha is more on the women's side, because again, the men from other Shvatim, they never said they can't marry women from Binyamin. It was the other way around. They said we won't allow our daughters to marry Binyamin. So now that they were master that, then it's a Simcha for the women. Okay. Answer number three, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Amar Rav Nachman, Yom Shekol Bo Meitei Midbar. Tu B'Av is the day that the people who died in the desert stopped dying. So the Rashbam gives the details like this from the Medrash. Every Erev Tisha B'Av, they would make an announcement. Everybody go dig graves. Everybody, because they didn't know. Of course, we know that the generation from 20 to 60 is going to die in the desert after the Chetam Araglim. You don't know who's going to die any particular year. So they would dig these graves. Everybody who was in that age group would go and sleep in these graves, and the next morning they would wake up, and about 15,000, and some of them would have passed away during the night. So 15,000 and some over 40 years comes out to 15,000 and some. That particular year, they do that on Tisha B'Av. They wake up in the morning, and everybody's alive. Should we maybe make a mistake in the date? So they went back and slept in the graves for a little bit. On Yud Av and Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, come Tu B'Av, they see the moon is full. Okay, we can't possibly have made a mistake on the date. The moon is full. It's obviously the middle of the month. The Eveshtim must have been Mevatel Gzeira. So they made a simcha of it.
Yes.
Tosfos has a long discussion about that, but Tosfos has a number of problems with that explanation. Among other things, in that case, it comes out among Tosfos's various problems is, so what is it? Did everybody who was in that generation die out? And in that case, they knew already everybody had from that generation had died out the previous year. And in that case, the Gemara is going to tell us that the Eibishter didn't continue speaking with Moshe Rabbeinu derech Chiba until all this was done. Why not? If everybody had died, everybody had died. Tosfos has a half dozen questions on the Rashbam. So therefore, they give a couple of answers.
One of known the previous year, all the people.
Yeah, Vahura. Everybody knows whether they're part of that cohort that was counted by Har Sinai. So if they know that all of them are dead already, then Manashech, if not, then how do you have 15,000 of them that are alive that didn't die when they were supposed to? So Tosfos just gives a couple of answers. One of them is Taka Azoi, the Eved Taka had Rachmanus and allowed 15,000 of them to stay alive. The 15,000 that should have died that year, when actually by rights they should have died. Or another possibility Tosfos says is that originally the Gzeira was maybe meant to apply to people who were exactly 20 at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. Then afterwards the Eibishter says, you know what, instead it'll be only if they were 20 and 1 month, meaning they were already 1 month into their 21st year. So they didn't know, in other words, because once they found that all of them, then they realized all those people who were between 20 exactly, 20 and 1 month, the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, survived. Yes. Yeah.
So then they realized
that Hashem changed the Zera, yeah. Okay.
Why did he change the Zera?
Because they had Rachmanus on them. Okay. So, Da'amamar, in fact, we say in a brisa, actually kolu meisim dibur, until all the people who died in the desert finished dying, lahoya dibur in Moshe. There was not a speech with Moshe. Now, what do we mean? During those years, of course, the Eibishter spoke to Moshe. So the Rashbam said two parts. One is that the Eibishter didn't speak to Moshe per el per, mouth to mouth, like we said before that. If there was a time when the Eibishter needed to speak with Moshe during those years, for example, during the story of Korach, then the Eibishter would speak to him through a malach or through the Urim V'Tumim. That's one explanation.
That's for 40 years.
For those 38 years.
Spoke directly to Moshe.
That's what we're saying, according to that first explanation. Since the Jewish people were under a nizifa, they were under a ban from the Eibishter, so therefore Moshe was also on a lower level than he would have otherwise been. And not the Yerachol. So if the Jewish people are distanced from the Eibishter, then Moshe Rabbeinu also has to be. That's one explanation. Then the Rashbam gives another explanation, is that no. If there was a necessity, like in the story of Korach, yeah, then the Eibishter would speak directly to him. But otherwise not. As opposed to before that, where it was all the time. There's different other explanations among the Rishonim and Achronim, such as that before this, Moshe Rabbeinu could come to the Eibishter and ask, and the Eibishter would speak to him. Whereas the other way around, before that, the Eibishter would come unilaterally and speak to Moshe. After that, it was only if Moshe needed to ask the Eibishter something. Rashi in Tainus mentions. Yeah, not really that he held them responsible, but it's a Hanofi or a Kurl. If the Jewish people are on a lower level, then Rashi mentions Tainus, another explanation. Not that the Eibishter didn't speak to Moshe during those years, but he didn't speak to him derech chiba. He didn't speak to him in a dear way, like you do kavyachol to a dear friend. He spoke to him like more from a distance. By the way, as far as the thing of what do we mean kolu meisim midbar, Tosfos doesn't mention it over here, but Tosfos in Tainus mentions another explanation also. This that was saying that every year they would dig the graves on Tisha B'Av, etc., most of the people who died every year would die Tisha B'Av. But you had people died throughout the year also. People get old and they died. That Tu B'Av of that 40th year was the first time, the first day that nobody among the whole Jewish people died. So then they knew kolu meisim midbar. Then they knew the Gzeira is over. Anyway. Okay, so Lo Yehoyah Dibru Moshe. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayhi Kasher Tamul Kahan Shamul Chamul Lomus Mikarevam." Moshe Rabbeinu was telling over the story to the Jewish people. He says, it happened that when all the people of the army, meaning all the people who had been counted, died from among the people, the Samachlam, the next passage is, "Vayidaber Hashem Elai Lema," Hashem spoke to me saying, implying that there's a connection between those two things. When they finished dying, then he spoke to me. Hmm. The Rashbam says another. The Rashbam says actually differently. He says because otherwise, why is it saying "Vayidaber Hashem Elai"? Throughout that Terek, throughout that section of Dvarim, it uses the word "Vayoymer" over and over. "Vayoymer Hashem Elai Al Tosar Es Moyam." All of a sudden, now it's "Vayidaber." So that implies it was a different kind of dibur. Or the Rashbam says is just because why does it have to say "Vayhi Kasher Tamul"? The previous psukim mentioned that all the people died in the midbar. So why does it have to continue when all the people finished dying? Then Hashem spoke to me. That implies that there's a connection between them. What's the connection? One of the ideas is, first of all, that now it shows that the Jewish people are not under a ban from the Eivishta anymore. So again, when they're closer to the Eivishta, so is Moshe Rabbeinu. Because again, Hanafi Rakol, it all goes together. The Nafi only has his greatness as a result of the people. You find earlier also, you know, by the Chet Ego, that the Eivishta said to Moshe, "Lech Reid, go down," means go down from your Gdula. I only gave Gdula because of the Jewish people. If they sin and they've fallen from their level, then you also have to descend it. But so that's one. And the other reason is because as long as the people were dying, everybody was an atzeres, including Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Shechina is, and it doesn't rest on a person, mitzvah atzeres, only mitzvah simcha. So once they were the simcha, then
he's
still upset because of what happened to the Jewish people. What do you mean? Yeah. How could he be in?
No.
Okay. All right. Next explanation. Okay, so again, we're still in the middle of the explanations for the specialty of Tuba. So far we had, what is it, three explanations. We had Hutru Lover Shvatim Zebazeh, Sheva Bin Yamin, and Shekolo Gometim Yitzah. Next, reason number four. Ola Amar, Yom Shabbito Boy, Hesheya Ben Ela, Palbisoi, Shehoshiv Yeravim Aladrachim. This is the day that Hesheya Ben Ela, the last king of the ten Shvatim, canceled the Palbisoi, the watchmen, the guards, Shehoshiv Yeravam Aladrachim, which Yeravam had set up on the road leading to Eretz Yehuda, to Yerushalayim, Shelo Yavo L'Yisrael L'Regel, to prevent the Jewish people from being on L'Regel. Because we know at the beginning, when Yeravam became king, he's afraid. We've talked about it here and there. We'll talk about it much more in Sanhedrin, Bez Hashem. But what happens when Yeravam becomes king, he starts getting nervous. The Jewish people are going to be on L'Regel. They're going to see Rechavam sitting, the son of Shlomo, sitting in the Azara, because he's a melech from Beit David, he's allowed to sit in the Azara. Everybody else, including me, is going to be standing. They're going to figure Rechavam is legitimate king, I'm not, and they're all going to return to him and dispose of me. So he sets up his Egle HaZahav to wean them away from the Beis Mikdash, and he sets up these guards to prevent anybody from being Oilu L'Regel. So now, so that remained, it remained that way for a couple hundred years. Finally, the last king of the Aseret HaShabbat, Moshe Ben Ela, took away those guards. Mind you, we learned in Gittin that actually it kind of backfired, because what happened is unfortunately the people of the Aseret HaShabbat didn't take the opportunity to start going up to Yerushalayim. They right. still wanted to continue going to their Egle Hazav, and then the Eibishter said, okay, that's it, and I'm sending them off into Golus. So in that sense, Maharsha says, you would think maybe it shouldn't be such a day of simcha, because look at the consequences of it, look at the results of it.
How come it was taken away?
Because they had gotten used to over those couple hundred years to not going to the Beis Mikdash. So now all of a sudden, guards are gone. Fine, but it didn't mean that all the
help.
It didn't help that people are going to now want to go to the Beis Mikdash.
It took 400 years.
What's 400 years? It took 200 odd years.
200 years.
240 years. Anyway, so Maharsha just says yesh liyashiv. Okay, maybe you can fight for it. So somebody says, one of the achronim says that, okay, yeah, maybe what it is the tzaddikim at that time, once Hashem ben Ela took away these guards, the tzaddikim of that time made a simcha. Because first, at least now we have the opportunity. It turned out the Jewish people didn't make use of the opportunity. Okay, but the simcha was already established.
Oh, not that there was a couple of...
There may have also been individual people. Later on, you find the tzaddikim. You find around that time, you find that Chizkiyahu sent messengers to many of the people throughout Eretz Yisrael, including the Ten Shvatim, inviting them to come to the Beis Mikdash to celebrate Pesach. The Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim that many of them made fun of him and laughed at him, but some of them, some people from Yisachar and Zvulun and Asher and whatever, Taka came. So,
Was Yeravam who made...
Yeravam set up the Egle Azav and he set up the Gong.
So
But they did. But many people, in fact, in Divrei Yom, it says that many people at that time said, never mind, we're going to give up our lands and the Atzeres Hashvatim and move to the kingdom of Yehuda and Binyamin so we can bring Karbonus and the Beit HaMikdash and be Olam Regel and serve the Eibishter the way we're supposed to. Where the Gemara also tells the Tainus about certain people who evaded the guards using various tricks. They made wood into ladders in order to pretend that they're taking ladders, and really they're bringing wood for the mezeach. They put food in baskets to pretend that they're just going to dry it, and really they're bringing it to the court. So there were such things. The pasuk also says, actually, the pasuk says about Yerovam's own son Ariya, that the nimtzavu davar tov, that a good thing was found in him. What was the good thing? Rashi says on the pasuk, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that this Ariya was one of the guards who was appointed, but he bitul mishmarta, he abandoned his guard position to be Olam Regel himself. So that was the good thing. That's a, yeah. Anyway. Okay. So that was it's a pasuk in Malachim, and Rashi mentions it on the pasuk. Yeah. Okay. So that's the fourth good thing that happened on Tubal. Rav Masna, number 5. Yom Shinitnu Harugi Beitu Lekvura. Tubal is the day that the people who were killed in Beitar after the revolt of Bar Kokhba were allowed to be buried. For many years, the Romans didn't allow them to be buried, and now finally they allowed them to. And Amr Rav Masna, as in fact we find Rav Masna says, Oysa Yom Shinitnu Harugi Beitu Lekvura, on the day that the people who were killed in Beitar were allowed to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavna HaTov HaMeitiv. On that day in Yavna, they made the Takana to say the Bracha HaTov HaMeitiv, the fourth Bracha of Benching.
After they'd been killed.
This is about, the Gemara doesn't spell out how long it was, but I've seen in Duras HaRishonim, he makes the calculation based on various historical details that they came in and came up with a figure of about 15 years.
They were left 15 years.
So they made the bracha. So they made about tov shalo hisruku. They said the Eibishter is good in that they didn't spoil all that time. Hamaytiv, and the Eibishter does good to everybody else. Shouldn't it look good that they were finally able to be buried? So that's the bracha tov hamaytiv that we say in benching. The fourth bracha of benching is to commemorate that. Mm-hmm. Why Taka, by the way, is connected with benching of all things. So a couple of the Rishonim talk about different reasons. One of them is that that's to remember how to be bait. So why? What? Dirabanan. Yeah, the first three brachas are Darai, so the fourth bracha is Dirabanan. So why Epis in benching? So there's a couple of reasons that Rishonim say. One of them is that Birkas HaMazon is supposed to be done on a cup of wine, and the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash tells us that the Adrianus, the Hadrian, the Roman emperor of that time, took these bodies and stacked them up, or he had a huge vineyard over there, the Medrash Eicha says. He had a huge vineyard in that area, and he took the bodies and stacked them up around it to make a fence around it. So therefore we mention this event in connection with benching, which we do on a cup of wine, to remember the fact that ultimately the Eivishter made it possible for them to be buried and didn't have them spoil all those years. The different explanation also, I think the Ritva says, that in benching, we're mentioning some of the basic events in Yiddishkeit, some of the basic nisim that the Eivishter did for us, that he brought us in Eretz Yisrael, that he gave us the man, and so forth. So this is another one that fits in that.
This was during his reign?
No, this was during his reign, yeah.
But it was allowed or not?
No, it was after his reign, yeah. Okay, so that's reason number 5 why Tuba over the
What else can we do?
Lots of things. Oh, I mean, this isn't really the place to get into it. But yeah. We learned to give them some of the things we did. Yeah, we learned in the whole sugya about the Horban we talked about. Yeah. Okay, so that's reason number 5. By the way, you notice a number of, and the Rebbe talked about this in a lot of sikhas having to do with Tuba of, that you see a number of these things have to do with undoing the effects of Tisha B'Av.
Right.
So there's this last one particularly, that one of the reasons we fast on Tisha B'Av B'chlal, and that we fast and mourn on Tisha B'Av is because of Harugi Beitar, because Beitar was conquered on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, this is undoing the effects of that.
No, it was
long after, like 52 years later.
So, because
every year Tisha B'Av they're dying. They're originally from the Chet of the Meraglim, which took place on Tisha B'Av, and now that's being undone. the period among the Jewish people from Pilagish Pegiva, which now is undone. What? Didn't start on Tisha B'Av necessarily, but in general. We know Tisha B'Av is related to Sinas Chinam, it's related to division among the Jewish people. Okay. Reason number six, Rabbah Rab Yosef Da'ami Tavayu, Yom Shepoiskin Bo Melichris Eitzim Lama Racha. Tuba Av is the day on which they stop cutting wood for the wood pile of the Mizbeach.
That's a
sad day,
isn't it?
No, because, one way of looking at it is that it's one way of looking at it is you finished a mitzvah, so you make a simcha, oisin simcha legomra shal mitzvah. In fact, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch it's brought, this is another one of the sources for the concept we were talking on Amud Aleph about Simcha Torah. This is here we're talking about Simcha Torah again. One of the sources for the concept of the whole celebration of Simcha Torah is that we finished the mitzvah of laying the whole Torah, and therefore we make a simcha. Rabbeinu Gershom says a different explanation. He says, all this time they're busy cutting wood. The Rashbam says we're talking all the way from Nisan, because that's during the spring and summer, it's the dry season. It's a seasonal event. But the point is, all that time, therefore, they're not able to learn Torah as much as possible, says Rabbeinu Gershom, because they're busy cutting wood. Now that they're finished cutting wood, they're able to go back to learning Torah, and therefore that's a simcha. Yeah.
So that's from when to when?
So the Rashbam says from Nisan. The Rashbam says from Nisan beginning until Tuba. The fast just from the beginning of Nisan, yeah. The reason is because you want to cut the wood in the dry season, because if you cut it in the wet season, it's going to be wormy. Yeah. And wormy wood, you're not allowed to bring on the mizbeach. Also, the Rashbam says also because then the wood will be more moist, so therefore it'll produce too much smoke. You want the wood to be as dry as possible, so therefore they'd cut it during the dry season.
Can
you
wait for it to dry also?
Yeah, okay, fine. It's not like the day they cut it, they can immediately bring it, but at least it'll dry much more quickly. Tanya, Rabbi Lezar Gadol, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Lezar Gadol says, Kivin shi'igia hamisha asabav, once it comes the 15th abav, toshash kocha shochama, the power of the sun weakens, because it's already the major part of the summer is over. So then they stop cutting wood for the maracha, as we said, because then already it's not hot enough, it's not hot and dry enough to keep the wood dry. The power of the sun starts weakening. There are many, many sikhas of Tuba Av, and also Maimarim of Chassidus from all the generations of the Rebbeim that talk about the deeper idea of this. There's a mimer from the Rebbe Rashab, Tafresh Ayin, that mentions the idea. We know the Gemara mentions elsewhere that the Goyim are represented by the sun and the Jewish people are represented by the moon. So therefore what we're saying is what happens, Tu B'Av, it's the time when the moon is at its fullest, and we're saying the power of the sun weakens, implying this is the time when there's a strengthening of the Jewish people, Koyach, and a weakening of the Goyim. There's a sikha where the Rebbe talks about another angle on it also, that the sun represents the Rusa Deleva, Kishemesh Amogen Abaya Elikim, for example, and in general, the whole summer season is the time, beginning from Nisan, is the time of the Rusa Deleva, when the Ebesh did things unilaterally for us. Beginning from Mantora is part of it also. Tuba Av, it begins Toshash Kocha Shochama, the power of that starts weakening. It starts, we're coming towards Elul time. It's time for our Avodah Day, the Rusa Deleva Sata, to start. So therefore, it's a time for celebration, that it's time for us to start our own Avodah, which eventually culminates in the Avodah of Yom Kippur and some Chatzor, like we were saying before, the Avodah of Balei Tshuva, where we, Milamata Maila, yeah. Amr of Menashe, V'korula Yom Tovar Magol. And Rav Menashe says, they called this day, Tuba Av, they called it the day of the breaking of the axes, because now they don't need the axes anymore to cut the wood. There's a whole sikha where the Rebbe analyzes this in great detail, among others, to talk about why do they have to break the axes, just save them for next year.
They used to save the wood of the axes,
no? No, because you have to use fresh wood for them. No, but the pastures, I mean, they broke them, doesn't mean they can't melt down the metal and use them for axes next year, but still, why do they do that? The upshot is, the Rebbe explains, because in general we know iron is not allowed on the Mizbeach because it symbolizes weapons, death, and whatever. So therefore, once they're finished cutting wood for the Maracha and they don't need these axes anymore, they break them to symbolically represent the idea, we're done with war, we're done with clay barzel and whatever, and now...
Like the prophecy, they'll
beat the swords and flower shares, yeah. Mikan va'elach, continues the Gemara, from this point on in the year, from Tuba Av, since the nights are starting to get longer, Demosif Yosef, anybody who adds time to learning Torah, that they don't just learn by day, they take time to learn Torah by night as well. Yosef, he will have an increase in his life. She'enin Mosif, somebody who does not increase during that time. Yosef. Now my Yosef, what does the word Yosef mean? Tani Rabbi Yosef Tikbere Ime means his mother, Rahman al-Aslan, will bury him. Yosef, in other words, like Vizifram, La Yosef Mizaram, he'll pass away from the world. Now, why the Lashon Tikvere? What?
That's different
Chardash. No, Yosef, like it doesn't take care of it. So, Loi Moisif Yosef. This is basically a direct quotation from that. So, why the expression Tikvere Ime? Maharsha says like this. We know the famous story with Shlomo HaMelech that his wife Aspara brought about that he overslept on the morning of the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash because she made a special canopy for his bed with the stars and all embroidered on it. So every time he wakes up, he thinks it's in the middle of the night and goes back to sleep until his mother Bathsheba comes in and starts giving it to him over the head. So what happened? Marshall said. Now he slept in there several extra hours. He should have made up that time during the winter when the nights are longer, as we're saying in the Gemara over here, learning extra time for learning extra Torah. And Bathsheba made sure that he did that. So she, his mother, did that for him. A mother who doesn't do that properly for her son, then if she doesn't get him to learn Torah the extra amount of time during the night, then yeah. Again, there's a sicha on this also in Chelik Lamadal. The Rebbe doesn't deal with the sicha as far as I saw with Tikvere Ime business, but he asks over there. So what are we saying? I mean, we're talking over here with pastors, maybe about a Baal Esek, somebody who's busy all day earning a living. He only has time. He has time for learning Torah by night. Fine, but you're going to say that the Deloy Moisif Yosef, that because he doesn't add extra time, therefore he deserves to die. The gist of it is. The Rebbe explained, based on a Rambam, that learning by night is the primary time when you receive Keter Torah, the crown of Torah, meaning that you're not just learning Torah as Stam a Chochma, as Stam is something interesting. You want to learn it, but you learn it in a way that you connect with the Eidishtet. So a person who doesn't take opportunity. So not as much because you're busy. But so the point is, so therefore, the idea is a person who doesn't add to that time in learning by night, then he's cutting himself off from the Eidishtet, from the source of life.
Now on. Going to be 1 hour and a half.
No. That's it. Hi. Let's continue. Okay. There is, by the way, a cute verse that Rishonim bring to on this. In Shavuos, you know, we read the many Kehillos have a minute to read Megillas Rus. We say it, and we just say it in Tikkun Shavuos. And there's the expression in there where Boaz says to Rus, "Shichvi ad haboker, sleep until the morning, and then in the morning we'll take care of your request for me or whoever to be goyel." Okay. That's Shichvi. That's in Shavuos night. We say Shiyah. Then at Tishabov, we say Eicha, and one of the Pesukim in Eicha is Kumi Roini Balayla, get up and cry out in the night. So there's a verse that Rishonim bring, from Shichvi until Kumi, Shichvi. From Kumi until Shichvi, Kumi. Meaning, from Shichvi, from Shavuot until Kumi, until Tishabov, when you say Kumi Roini Balayla, fine, you can sleep at night. The nights are short anyway. If you don't sleep then, you're not going to have a chance to. From Kumi, from Tishabov, or Tuba'av, as Argamara is saying, when the nights are starting to get longer, until Shichvi, until Shavuot, Kumi, you should be getting up by night for one time. Okay. Continuing. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. Now this Braisa is going to talk about people whose lives span all of human history. Why are we bringing it in over here? The Rashbam says two reasons. Number one, because since we mentioned Yoshua and Kalev, we're going and then in the discussion of this Braisa, we're going to talk about people who, like Yoshua and Kalev, lived through the 40 years in the Midbar and survived to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's one reason. The other reason is because we just said that somebody who adds time to learning Torah will have longer life. So therefore, we're going to mention people who have longer lives. They were tzaddikim, they spent time learning Torah, and therefore the Eretz gave them more lives. So, turn it up on. Shiva Kiplus Kala Olam Kulay. There are seven people whose lives altogether spanned the entire human history. Kiplu literally means they folded up, and it means, in other words, like they surrounded. No. Wait. Yeah. How is this? Mr. Shelach raw Adam. See, if Adam Rishon is created at the beginning, Mr. Shelach saw him because Mr. Shelach was born when, Mr. Shelach was born, the Rashbam says 243 years before Adam passed away. So he had 200 odd years to learn by Adam Rishon. Shem raw Mr. Shelach. Shem, the son of Noach, saw Mr. Shelach because he was born. Shem was born 98 years before the Mabel, and Mr. Shelach died right before the Mabel. So you have 98 years where their lives overlapped. Yaakov raw Shem. Yaakov saw Shem because Shem died when Yaakov was 50 years old. So Yaakov ishtam Yoshev Olam. He had 50 years chance to learn by Shem. Amram Roas Yaakov. Amram, the father of Moshe, saw Yaakov. Now, the Rashbam says this we don't know from the Pesukim, but this we can figure out with Svara. Kahos was one of the people who came down to Mitzrayim. The Pesuk lists that Levi came down with his three sons, Gershon, Kahos, and Merari. Amram is the eldest son of Kahos. So it makes sense that they must have been, they was probably born while Yaakov was alive.
Why?
Because if Kahos himself was already one of the Yodim Mitzrayim, why shouldn't assume, unless we have reason to think otherwise, that Kahos had to wait so long before he had his firstborn. Okay. Anyway, that's the Kabbalah. The Chachamim had that for Kabbalah. Okay. Achia Shiloni Roa Es Amram. Achia Shiloni, the famous Nabi, saw Amram. And Eliyahu Roa Es Achia Shiloni. And Eliyahu saw Achia Shiloni. Va'adayin Kayim. And Eliyahu, Nabi is still alive. Now, you have a lot of discussion in this. For example, the Rashbam says that obviously all Gemara must be disagreeing with the idea that Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu, because otherwise you can skip Achia Shiloni. You just go straight from Amram to Pinchas. Because then you could say like this. So you have Amram, then Moshe, and then Pinchas. You don't need to mention Achia Shiloni at all. First of all, before we get to the Baal Shem Tov, just a second. So first of all, okay, the Tosfos mentions also, obviously, the Tana of our Braisa must also be holding that Serach didn't live forever. But otherwise, again, we can skip from Yaakov straight to Serach, and you'll need five people. So obviously, the Tana of this Braisa must disagree with that concept. They talk about other Rishonim, also talk about, for example, that the Gemara must be disagreeing with the idea that's brought in some Midrashim, that Chanoich, the seventh generation from Adam Rishon, that went up to Shemayim alive and became Malach Matas, because then you only need two. That is an explanation that some of the Rishonim bring. Yeah, that's only mentioning men.
What?
That's only mentioning men, therefore doesn't mention Serach Basashe. Tosfos over here obviously doesn't agree with that. But there is a different explanation that some of the Mephoshim say, which is we're only listing people who are alive on earth. So Serach Bas Asher is alive, fine, but she's in Gan Eden. Similarly, Chanoich. Similarly, as you're mentioning Achia Shiloni also. He didn't come down to Shama Beguf to teach the Baal Shem Tov. He was in the Shama, and not in a body, as opposed to Eliyahu. Now, he comes down in a body to earth, and we've talked before about when he comes in a body, then he's subject to halacha, and then we can learn halachas from him, and so forth. So therefore, we can count him in a way that we can't count Chanoich or Serach or any of those.
So a minion can count.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the seven. What's the deeper significance of the fact that you have seven of them? You have Marsha talked about the idea. What did he say? That the world runs on seven. You have the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that the world stands on seven, according to one day, on seven pillars. These are the seven pillars we're talking about.
Oh.
Seven people whose lives span the whole world.
Wow.
Okay. The question is, what do you mean by Achia Shiloni Roa Es Amram? What do you mean Achia Shiloni saw Amram? And then we find him later on. We find him in the times of Yeroba, 500 odd years later. Oh. The Pasuk says, "Well, no samehem yishkim kolev in Yifuna v'Yeshua." But no, the Pasuk says that there was nobody left from the Dor HaMidbar except for Kolev and Yeshua. So what's Achia Shiloni doing over there? The answer is, "Amar Rabbanu lo nikzu gzera shivta shel Levi." The gzera did not apply to the shevet of Levi. Now, where do we see that Achia Shiloni is a lady? What? Because they weren't involved in the Chet Egel or the Chet Meraglim, yes. Where do we see that Achia was a lady? The Rashbam brings a pasuk from Divrei Yomim that mentioned an Achia who was in charge of the treasury of the Bais Hamikdash. And apparently, the Gemara assumed that that's the same Achia Shiloni. And it says he was a lady, yes. It says, Achia al Otzris Beis Elikim. And the Gemara assumes that that's the same as Achiyah Shulamit. The Rimi Gash actually has a different explanation. He says that what the Gemara means is therefore Amram wasn't included in the Gzera. Amram was still alive at the time, and he survived to go into Eretz Yisrael. However, other Rishonim argue on that, because the Pasuk says Amram lived to be 137. If our Gemara is telling us here he was born while Yaakov was still alive, from then until Yetzias Mitzrayim is a bit under 200 years, one way or the other, either Amram wasn't alive yet when Yaakov was born, or he passed away long before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the chronologically, it doesn't really work. Okay, so therefore, so pretty much all the Rishonim accept what the Rashbam is saying over here, that we mean Achiyah Shulayim is a lady. As the pasuk says, "Bamidbar as a yiplo pigurechem." As the pasuk says, after the chet meraglim, in this midbar, your dead bodies will fall. V'chop kudechem l'chol mispachem, and all of your countings, all of your numbered ones, miben esrim shana v'mala, the ones from 20 and up. Meaning, mishep kudim miben esrim. It only applies to the other shvatim who were counted beginning from age 20, as it says in this week's parasha. Yotah shivde shalevi shep kudim miben shloshim, as opposed to shevet levi, which were only counted for the malacha of the mishkan from 30 years and up.
Oh.
Or the Rashbam brings another explanation that it means that they were counted from 30 days and up, but the Rashbam says in that case it should be using the expression ben chodesh, not ben shloshim. Whatever, the point is they're not counted from the same age bracket as everybody else, so therefore they're not included in the Zera. Okay, question is,
because they're not counted like everybody else?
So actually, the Rashi mentions in this week's parasha that the one reason why Shevet Levi was counted separately, the Ebishter knew in advance, there's going to be the Chet Meraglim, and they're going to end up all having to stay in the desert. Only the ones who are counted from 20 and up, and he didn't want Shevet Levi to have to be included. Therefore, that's one reason that he told Moshe to count them separately. Okay. Question is, Mishar Shvatim Le'ayot, so you're telling me nobody else from the other Shvatim who was there with Yetzias Mitzrayim and came into Eretz Yisrael? V'hatanya, but we learn in a braisa, Yoyer ben Menashe or Mocher ben Menashe nodu b'mei Yaakov, Yoyer the son of Menashe and Mocher the son of Menashe were born in the times of Yaakov, v'loy meisu ad shenichnasu Yisrael la'aret, and they didn't die until the Jewish people had already come into Eretz Yisrael. So they survived. So they survived all that time. Shenemar, and how do we know what the years? More than 40 years. They were born in the times of Yaakov, and they still were alive to come into Eretz Yisrael. You're talking 200, you're talking... Yeah, so the point is they survived the 40 years in the Midbar, but yeah. Shenema, and how do we know, at least with Yoyer, that he lived that long? The Pasuk says that by one of the early battles in Eretz Yisrael, by Yaakov mehem anshei ha'ai kishloshim b'shishish, it says the people of Ai, one of the cities they were trying to conquer, struck and killed from them about 36 people. V'tanya, and you learn in a braisa. What does it mean, about 36? Shloshim b'shisha mamish divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says it means literally 36 people were killed. Amaloyram nechemia b'chinem shloshim b'shisha. The pasuk doesn't say 36. Balay lenem ela kishloshim b'shisha. It says about 36. Or kaf can mean about, or it can mean light. Ela zayor ben menashe. Yeah, it can mean about, or it can mean light. That's the key thing. Ela zayor ben menashe sheshakol kurobo shel Sanhedrin. Rather, it refers to only one person was killed, Yoyer ben Menashe, who was the equivalent of most of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin consists of 71. So the majority, the equivalent of Chochma, yeah. The Sanhedrin consists of 71 members. So the majority of it is 36. So the Pasuk is telling us that Yoyer ben Menashe was the equivalent all by himself of the in Chochma of 36 members of the Sanhedrin.
So maybe?
No, we just said he was the son of Menashe. But that's the question. In other words, so we see that he was born in the times of Yaakov yet. He lived all the way to come into Eretz Yisrael because he was killed in the Battle of Ai. So therefore we see that more people than that people from outside Shevet Levi lived through the years in the
Midbar. When he was like 200 years old.
Yeah. Ela Amar Rav Acha BaYaakov Lo Nigzur Zera Lo Yal Pachas Ben Esrim Lo Yal Yosef Ben Shishim. No, Rav Acha BaYaakov says no. The answer is like this: never mind Shevet Levi or not. The Gzera of the Meraglim that everybody's going to die in the Midbar did not apply to anybody who was less than 20 or who was older than 60. So Yor and Lafay were much older than 60.
Why just 20 and 60?
Okay, so that's how we're going to see. Loyal Pachas Ben Esrim, it wasn't the less than 20 years old, just the Ben Esrim Shana V'mala, because it says from 20 years and up. B'chlal, the Beis Din Shamayla doesn't punish a person below 20 years old. Beis Din Shamata can punish a person 13 already, 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl. The Beis Din Shamayla waits until a person is 20. Because I guess the Beis Din Shamayla is more lenient, waits until a person has his full daf. We're going to learn later on in our Masechta, V'lumka B'nichse Avav Achiyah Ben Esrim, even verses of Halacha, there's a certain thing that kicks in when you're 20. 13, yeah. Yeah, okay. So not less than 20, because the puzzle says, Ben Esrim Shana V'mayla. Also, the Gzeira did not apply to anybody over 60. Why? Gomer v'mayla v'mayla mi'erchin. Because we learn Gzeira Shava, the word v'mala, from the dinim of erchin. Malahalan Yosim ben Shishim Kapachas ben Chof. Just like over there, somebody who's over 60 is similar to somebody under 20, not as far as the actual amount, but in Parashat Chatzos, in last week's parasha, we had the amount for Erchin. It was not, the amount isn't the same for a man over 60 and for under 20. But the point is, there's a bracket from 5 years old to 20. There's another bracket from 20 to 60, and there's another bracket from 60 and over, where the Erech goes down from 50 to 15 shekel. So we see that a person 60 and that a person 60 or over, or 20 and under, are not in the same category as 20 to 60.
20 and under is 20?
It's under 20. No, under 20. Once he reaches 20, then that's it.
Right. So
then
20 is what? Oh,
yeah, 20. It's 20. 20. No. He's saying 20 shkolim is the erech for somebody between 5 and 20 years old. Yeah. So it's not the same amount, but the point is it's not the full erech as for a 20 to 60 year old. Afkan, Yotzim, Ben Shishim, Kapachim, Ben Etchim. So the same thing over here. The over 60s and the under 20s are the same thing. The Gzeira didn't apply to them, which we learned the other day, by the way. We had a machlokes between the Rashbam and Tosfos. What about the actual counting itself? Did the actual counting itself, the numeration in this week's parasha of 603,000, etc., was that also only the 20 to 60 year olds? Or Tosfos said no, it included the over 60 years old as well. And therefore, they might have been included in the Gzeira, were it not for this dispensation that the Eibishter said the over 60s are not going to be included in the Gzeira, but they were included in the counting.
It would be logical to include in the counting. Why wouldn't you include them in the counting?
Because the point is, Kol Yotze Tzava B'Yisrael. The point is, anybody who's going to war, usually 60-year-olds don't go to war. Now, you have exceptions. You just said Yair was 200-odd years old and went to war, fine, but in general, the choice list doesn't hold of that. Choice list holds that, no, the counting included everybody, 20 and older. But they could understand Kol Yotze Tzava mean anybody who's part of the collective Jewish people, who's part of the army of Hashem, you know. But our Gemara is telling us that nevertheless the over 60s were not included in the Gzeira. So therefore, they were counted in the counterpoint to choice list, but they weren't included in the Gzeira.